Hey everybody, welcome to episode 27 of the Touchline Podcast. We're finally back for the start of the new season after taking a long off-season break. We got Brett here as always.
Hi.
Say hi, Brett. There you go. And we got Jared. He's visiting with us.
Hey, what's up, guys?
He might stay. He's just on loan right now.
Yeah, we're doing a trial, I guess.
We might pick up his contract.
Well, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll have to have the agent talk to the GM and see if the terms and conditions can get worked out.
Exactly.
We haven't had a lot of success lately as RSL working with agents and contracts and stuff, so I don't know. We'll see.
Well, favors and scored an and one, so we've got that going.
All right, well, so on this episode, we thought we'd review a little bit of the CONCACAF Champions League games against Tigres and the opening season game that we had against Orlando City this past Sunday. And then we'll preview the Seattle game that we have coming up this Saturday and anything else that comes that we want to talk about. So, first off, Brett, what were your thoughts on our Champions League games?
So the first game, you could kind of tell that we were actually there to win. You could tell that just the way we were playing. But you can also tell that we were a preseason team playing against a team that was in form. And so towards the end of the game, we got gassed. And as soon as we started getting gassed, then that's when they got those two goals on us.
Well, you know what was silly is, you know, I know that set pieces take a lot, you know, concentration, and you got to want it more than the other guy. And if you're tired, you know, they may jump higher than you or whatever. It's the same as in any sport, you know, basketball or football or whatever. But it was kind of disappointing that the two goals we gave up were off set plays. It wasn't that, you know, we were gassed and they beat us in the run of play or on a counter or anything like that. It's, you know, you got a corner kick, or I think the other one was a free kick, right? One free kick, one corner. And they beat us on that. So that's what was disappointing to me, but I thought we played great. I was prepared for a, you know, shellacking.
Yeah, I think something we can take away from that entire situation, I mean, even when we came home and got the 1-1 draw and still lost on aggregate, we, out of all the, like, 8 teams that were left, obviously the 4 Mexican teams moved on, but out of the MLS teams that we're playing, I think we probably looked the best out of the 4. And on top of that, we were playing Tigres, who is actually, like, the top dog down there in Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, I thought over the balance of the two games, you know, maybe a Tigres fan would disagree with me, but I thought down there we kind of played them almost to a draw, right? I mean, this game down there could have been almost any score you wanted based on how many chances people missed. But up when they came back here, I thought we outplayed them, and you know it was unfortunate that, I mean, the goal they got at the end didn't, I mean, it didn't matter really. But you know it was unfortunate we only got one, because I thought that we deserved better than that on the whole, which is saying something. Like you said, where Tigres is supposed to be, you know, this powerhouse of CONCACAF, maybe the best team ever that, you know, Mexico has produced. So that was pretty cool.
Honestly, I was kind of worried myself that they were just going to come up here and do to us what they did to us down there. But when RSL came out fighting, I was just like, man, we have a real shot at this thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, you saw some of the other games, like when Seattle went down to Santos, and, no, who was it, LA went to Santos and just got pummeled. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I thought, oh, maybe that's going to happen to us, but no, RSL, they did great.
I saw some of those scores, and I was just like, oh, man, I'm embarrassed for the MLS.
Yeah. Yeah, the other MLS teams certainly didn't do us any favors by leaving it to RSL to try and carry the banner. Now, some of them had good, you know, a good game for one of the games, but, you know, being preseason and all, I think that really hurt everyone.
I think the kind of the main theme that I came away with, and I probably didn't watch as religiously as a lot of other folks and whatnot, but the thing I keep hearing from fans who are especially religious with the watching of the soccers or the beautiful game, whatnot, whatever you want to term it. The thing I keep coming away with is that RSL still has a hole in the on defense that hasn't really been filled.
Yes, there is a huge hole back there. And we call him Olave.
You know, I guess, I mean, we can talk about that too, because that kind of ties in with the Orlando City game, but, you know, people are putting hate down on Olave, you know, for the two set-piece goals against Tigres and for some of the breakdowns we had against Orlando, but, I mean, certainly he could have done better, but I don't know that it was all on him, and he had a lot of other moments that were pretty good. You know,
well, and even also the home game against Tigres, he's the one that kind of got beat. He was the last man after Nick got beat. Olave still had a chance to stop it. And so if you want to, technically, you could put all four goals against him, or five goals.
Well, I guess technically, but, well, that would be a little harsh, I think.
And I like the guy. That's the sad part.
Yeah, but I also wonder, too, I mean, how much of it are we not... I don't know how to explain it, but, you know, I sometimes wonder about our, you know, the left back situation. Are Mond and Olave always on the same page? I know this might be blasphemy, but it seems like Nick has made, or, you know, Raimondo has made some sketchy decisions, like when he's come out or, you know, playing the ball or whatever. And, you know, you just kind of wonder if, as a whole, or even, you know, if you throw Beckerman and Sonny and stuff in there, you know, are we making the right decisions as a unit? You know, like the Orlando game, why are we playing a high line in stoppage time to allow those two balls over the top? I mean, that's just asinine decision-making, right? Mm-hmm. For the whole team to push up like that.
Well, even against Tigres on that very last, that goal they got in stoppage time when at home, Nick more than likely probably should have never ran out on that ball. Like, he was caught in no man's land and just went for it instead of staying back. And yeah. So I think early on this year, I know our defense is kind of lackluster at this point, but I think overall, other than the three guys up top, I think there's a lot of poor decision-making going on throughout this entire team.
So I'm just thinking about, in general, you know, as somebody who's kind of followed the team sort of at a distance for the most part, you can't throw shade on the wall of the Wasatch, man. you can't. The wall creates shade; it does not accept your shade.
Yeah, it's like, you know, dogging on Javi or Kyle or Raimondo is like, you know, yeah, they'll put you on the stake and light you on fire, man.
They're the holy trinity. Well, the burrito might replace one of those guys. I don't know.
But, you know, I guess, you know, being realistic, those guys aren't always excluded from making bad decisions.
Yeah, they're not as infallible as we'd like to believe that they are.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, heaven forbid that, you know, either they get older or they just have a bad game or something, you know, and we actually have to say something not positive about them.
No, for sure. I think, sadly, I'm starting to worry that maybe Raimondo is going to get to the point where it's just we're going to start seeing more and more little things. It's like, he's getting older. Oh, no.
I mean, I would hope that Raimondo out of the three will probably last the longest because he's a goalie. And goalies tend to age better, but I don't know. We'll see. Morales or Javi, you know, he certainly hasn't slowed down yet too much. So, yeah, I mean, I want to get your guys' opinion on this. It's like every single interview with Kassar or Weibel, you know, or even when the radio guys are talking, it's always like center back, center back, center back, center back. We need a new center back. We need a new center back. And it's like, with that talk out there all the time, even if the players aren't on social media or whatever, I mean, that has to get back to them. How do you think that makes, you know, Mond and Olave feel when the talk all the time is, hey, we need a new center back. Did you hear we're looking for a center back? Have you heard that? You know? I mean, that can't help them.
Yeah, I don't know. The mental part of the game is just like with any sport, I think the mental part of the game is probably where you win and lose most of your battles. Because yeah, if he's got that in his head that everybody's saying this about him, then if he's got it in his head and he's letting it get to him, then he's just going to start playing worse and worse and worse. But if he doesn't let it get to him and he just kind of goes, yeah, that's what the guys are saying, whatever, you know, I can show different. I mean, that I think that's the kind of attitude as a professional athlete that you have to have. I mean, obviously, I know nothing about that from personal experience, but if you're letting them get in your head, then you've already lost. So, I don't know. I think it'd be all right.
I guess I would have a hard time. Like, if you're an NFL quarterback, say for example, like take Tony Romo for example, or I don't know. I'm trying to think who else. Russell Wilson or.
Let's talk about Brock Osweiler, who just got signed to a ridiculous $18 million a year contract.
Okay, so take Brock Osweiler is going to the Texans. So say after the second game, the only thing the media is talking about is how the Texans need to trade for a new quarterback, right? They need to get a new quarterback. They need to get a new quarterback. I mean, even though you're a professional athlete and you think that you're all that and stuff, I just have to think that it would, I don't know. I guess it could be positive, like make you work harder so that if they do get someone, they'll be sorry. But I don't know. It just seems like maybe we're going a little overboard on the nonstop questioning.
The thing is, if you're Houston, if you start that kind of talk with a quarterback that you just got, you look at who you're replacing. I mean, Brock Osweiler is 10 times better than anyone they had last year. So, I mean, it all comes down to situation and everything. So, I mean, obviously fans are irrational and stupid and say all kinds of ridiculous things, but, you know, I'm a fan. I know these things, you know. Last night on Twitter, everybody's so down on the Jazz because of the loss to the Hawks. Well, it's the Hawks, and they've been the best defensive team in the league since January. Like, since January, they basically statistically had the number one defense. So it's not all that surprising that they made us look bad, especially in the second half. I don't know. It's a sports thing. I don't know. It's tough. I always struggle with the mental aspect of the game versus the, you know, putting rubber to the road. And
yeah, I think that's where athletes are different than us. They kind of have to have a short memory, especially defenders, because mistakes are going to happen, and especially in games like the Orlando game. Everybody's talking about our defense collapsed and everything like that, but there was a lot of potential on the other side where our offense looked 10 times better than it did last year. And so, as long as these players just got short memories. I think the big thing, though, when it comes to them is we got DeMar Phillips, who's over 30, and you got Olave, who's over 30. And I think that's where the whole we need more defenders, we need better defenders are coming in. It's because I think people are recognizing that these guys are older and they're breaking down. And so my
younger
pick,
guy
I hope they
to develop is probably going to be what you need anyways in the future. So
yeah, like Justin Glad.
Riding the Glad train again.
Yes,
here we
I
go.
Am.
Hop on board. Choo-choo. You know, I thought all off season, I really thought that they were going to get a new left back. You know, I wasn't ever sold on Phillips last season, and you know, I thought Phillips and Mansalli were essentially equivalent, and they would be great to have as your backup left back.
Yeah.
But I didn't really care for either one as a starter. You know, we bring in Wingert, which I think is fine to have as a depth piece, but. You know, saying that and then watching him play so far this season, it's, you know, I'm almost leaning towards, well, I think I'd rather have Wingert start out of the two.
Yeah.
And so that's not good.
I'm at that point right now. I'm highly considering maybe we should just go this huge, crazy, like, youth movement on the back line. We got that kid out of Notre Dame in the draft.
Yeah, he signed with the Monarchs, though.
Bring him up, man.
Who was that, Lakowecki, I think?
Yeah. But and then you
can they promote him in season? I don't even know how that works.
You can, but the stipulation is if you promote him in season, they cannot go back.
Because didn't they change the rule this season where you could do short term loans? I thought.
Yeah, from what I was,
it was like the D League.
Yeah, from what I was told is, no, if you bring a guy up, he has to stay on your roster the rest of the year.
Dang.
Well, we need to do some investigation, I guess. Maybe need to get a hold of Trey and ask him what the official, at least the official as of right now until LA wants a different rule, what the rule is.
Yeah. But anyways, let's go youth back there. I mean, you got Boyd Okonu, Justin Glad, Kavita. Just if you're under the age of 20, you get to start.
I wonder if
Jordan Allen can go back there too.
Yeah.
20? Can we just say, can we call it 25?
Let's go 28 so we can keep Beltran.
Yeah. So I mean, other than the ending, which was so infuriating in the Orlando game, I thought that up until Phillips got his second yellow, which I guess I just on Twitter, Dunny and I had a little bit of a disagreement, and you know, like you said, the ref said it was a yellow, so that's what it is, which is true. But I thought after that, once we went down to 10, I thought we played a lot better. I thought the first half hour or so we played pretty crappy. But after that, I thought we played pretty well. And then, you know, obviously once it went 10-on-10, we played well. And then, you know, once it got to like the 85th, 90th minute, I almost turned the TV off because I'm like, you know, Orlando has nothing and we got this. And then wah, wah.
Yeah, that was a big wah, wah there at the end.
But I mean, if you want, I'm looking on the positive side, if we'll go glass half full, which is hard to do, but other, I mean, we did play really well. I thought the forwards, you know, again, looked super dangerous.
Especially Burrito. It is so nice in this offense to have a guy up top with that kind of skill set with the ball at his feet.
Oh my goodness. Did you guys watch some of those vines of just him like schooling guys and getting by them with his ball skills? Man.
Just go back and look at Plata's goal in Orlando.
Yeah.
I mean, that all started because Burrito just beat three guys on his own.
Oh, man.
You know how like in baseball stadiums they have like the K's that they put up, the fans put up every time they get a strikeout or
yeah,
like the U does it with offsides that they cause the offense to do.
Mm-hmm.
We should do something like that in our stadium where every time Burrito just makes a dude look silly, we like hang a sign up.
Of a burrito?
Yeah, we just hang. It's another smothered burrito.
Oh, that's pretty good. I like that.
We should totally start that. Get a big picture of a smothered burrito and hang it up every time he just schools a dude.
You know, something else that I was, like, worried about going into this season, and then after three games into it, I'm not so worried about it anymore, is generally when a guy leaves RSL and comes back a few years later, we have these, like, high expectations of him that he'll come back to what he was. Jura looks, like, 10 times better than he was when he left. And it's amazing to see that.
I think the difference in this case is most of the guys that come back are, you know, like Olave, Wingert, that are older. And Jura came back after he's matured and, like, grown, and he's, like, in the prime right now. So that's really exciting. I really want him to score because so far it's been, like, awesome with disappointment, you know?
Yeah. The, you know whose name escapes me, but I think is the ultimate example of the not-so-good coming back? Finley.
Oh, right.
Oh, my goodness. I was so sad when I saw Robbie Finley after he came back. I was just like, oh, man, that is not the Robbie Finley I remember. I was like,
Well, and something bad has happened because now he's playing for Rayo OKC and in the, you know, the lower division, and that's just weird. They have like all ex-RSL players, it seems like.
Yeah, and the sad part about it is, what was it, 2010 World Cup?
He went to the World Cup and started. Oh, man. If only Charlie Davies hadn't have gotten in that car.
Yeah, poor Charlie Davies.
Poor Charlie Davies.
But I remember Toronto being ecstatic, thinking that they could that they got Finley. And he, like, first game for him, he scores. And then everybody in Salt Lake was like, oh, crap, he's going to turn it on. And then he finished with, like, one other goal for the rest of the season. So, but, hey, good on him.
Well, let's Rayo. Look. Yep. Isn't that the weirdest name? I mean, I know we have I guess I can't bag on it because we're Real Salt Lake, but Rayo OKC is weird.
That seems like a super weird name. I'd never even heard of them because I follow MLS, but I don't usually follow the lower division teams unless it's like the Monarchs. If, you know, I try to keep one eye open on them every once in a while, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they you know, there's several teams over in Spain with that Rayo name, just like Real. And for whatever reason, I think it's Rayo Vallecano is who they partnered up with or whatever. So they chose Rayo Oklahoma City, and it's kind of weird.
Whatever works, yeah. I guess.
Hey, like I said, we're Real Salt Lake, so I can't throw shade at them.
Real Salt Lake, I think it works. I don't know.
We're not royal in anything.
We are the royalty. We're the royalty of Salt Lake. What other team has given you a title?
No, exactly. There have been no queens or kings that have bestowed that name upon us.
Actually, wait.
Spectrumans are king.
I'd have to check, but the star, the Utah Stars for one. The Stars or the? You want to know the first
way back, man.
Championship team, the ABA championship. Oh yeah, they won an ABA championship while in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, but we're still here, so we win.
Well, the NBA folded. What do you want?
They had a great basketball, though.
Yeah.
They're
the only reason the Jazz actually, you know, ended up here. That's basically the foundation of it.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on and talk about Seattle, if that's all right. Get off the Rayo talk. So on Saturday, we have a rare afternoon game, which I was excited about until I saw that I don't think the weather is supposed to be very good, but hopefully it holds out for us. But we're playing Seattle, the Dempsey and hype train of Jordan Morris. They're coming in. They lost their first game against Sporting Kansas City 1-0. I don't know if you guys saw that game. Seattle went down.
I despise both of those teams.
Seriously, that was one where it's like, I hope everyone gets hurt on the field.
Okay. You're like, I
okay,
hope
come
you
on,
draw.
Come on. That's a little too extreme.
No, it's not. It's not extreme.
Well, I always wonder if Clint Dempsey is, you know that video he has of him rapping or whatever, that scene where they're all in the car. I always wonder if something. People are, you know, a real gangster is going to show up someday and be like, oh, you're Clint Dempsey, huh? You think you're so hard.
I grew up in Texas.
Yeah.
Are you Texas Crip or a Texas Blood? You know, they wear, you know, you're wearing orange. It must be Crip.
Well, it's green, so I don't know what that would be.
Yeah.
Because he plays for Seattle. But they got a red card. Dunny talked about it on the instant replay he did for MLS Soccer. If you haven't watched it, I'm plugging it. Go see it. But anyway, the right back for Seattle went in two-footed on a guy. The guy jumped out of the way, but still got, you know, the defender still got a red card, as he should have. Seattle still played really well. The goal they gave up was super lame. Seattle's goalie should have saved it. Anyway, so they're going to be disappointed coming off that. You know, obviously we're disappointed, so one team is going to still be disappointed, I'm sure, after this game.
Yeah, well, it's our first home game, so the riot's probably going to be rocking, and I don't know.
If it's anything like Tigres, it's going to be packed.
Yeah, yep. The crowd for the
third biggest attendance, I think, for Tigres, right?
Yeah, the Tigres crowd was really good, and you know, there were a bunch of Tigres fans, but they weren't as obnoxious as when Monterrey was here. So, gosh, that was annoying. But Seattle, they'll bring a good away crowd, and you know, they'll be loud, just like the Tigres fans were up in the away section. We should have a good time. Seattle does have a bunch of injuries. You know, Brad Evans, he separated his shoulder during the last game. They're already down a couple defenders, so. And then their right back, you know, got a red card, so they're down two starters. Well, if you count them as starters, you know, they're already filling in for other guys. So
yeah.
I guess we'll have to see who Siggy decides to roll the dice with.
Yeah, you might see Nathan Sturgis make a return to Salt Lake City.
Yeah, I mean, whoever it is, they're going to be having nightmares of burritos. That's all I know.
Yeah, with a defense that's battered like this, this is a game that our attacking third, we just need to keep the ball up in that area and away from our defense.
Yeah.
No
mistake
can happen if they don't see it.
We do have to be careful. I mean, they're Jordan Morris, I mean, he is really speedy, and he likes to get in behind. And then Clint Dempsey just tries shiz sometimes. This is crazy. Their other winger, what's his name, Valdez? You know, he's no slouch either. He actually seems to do pretty good on set pieces for whatever reason. It doesn't seem like he's that tall, but...
5'10"?
Maybe. I don't know how tall he is, but he seems to... To get himself in the right spots for sure. So I don't think that Seattle's going to be able to hang with us just because their defense is all patchwork. So I'm going to say 3-0 win for RSL.
We're going to tie. And it's going to be like
3 last minute.
1.
Dempsey and... What's that other the young kid's name?
Jordan Morris.
I'm going to say 1-1, and we're going to collapse in the like 87th minute because that's all we've done all season long.
Get off the pod right now.
Okay.
One 1-1 draw. That would be crappy. What do you
sure. I think we win 2-1.
Ooh, that'd be all right too. All right, well.
Well, they're gonna threaten in like the last 5 minutes. We're gonna barely scrape by.
Yeah, we better have more than a 1-goal lead going into the last 10 minutes, or might be trouble.
I'd like to say though, our referee will be Juan Guzman.
We actually have a pretty good record when he's our ref for, I mean, I don't know how much that matters because the sample size is small, but a lot better than we did with Penso. Was Chris Penso the last one? Against Orlando? I think it was Chris Penso. Anyway, our record with him is not good. So.
As long as it isn't Uncle, who cares?
You know what? After he had that game with us at the beginning of last season that was just awful... You know, every time I'd watch him ref, like, the more I watched him, the more I was like, I don't always agree with his decisions, but he is pretty darn consistent.
Yeah.
So that one New York City game when he called, like, 4 penalties, it's like, once he established, like, hey, I'm going to call penalties, then just kept calling him because people kept being stupid, but I'm like, well, he's consistent, I guess.
Yeah, but, you know, at least we got a good ref.
Yeah.
Till next week.
Well, what else do you guys want to talk about? You got anything else? Any words of wisdom?
Well, let me check the score on the Jazz game.
Don't. It's not pretty.
Can I just... I just want to say how awesome is it right now? Yeah. I just want to say how awesome it is right now that, like, Colorado's trying to, like, catch up with everybody else in the league, and they are dropping a massive amount of money everywhere.
Yeah, what the heck's up with Stan Kroenke all of a sudden giving a crap?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Well, he finally got his pet project to Los Angeles, so now he has attention to divert elsewhere.
Yes, or maybe he figures he's going to have extra money to spend now.
Holy crap, I mean, 22? Ouch. Down by 22.
Yeah, I mean, because, I mean, he owns Arsenal and he owns the Rapids, and both teams, you know, are always very frugal.
Arsenal, I don't know, I kind of blame that a little bit on manager, because I like Arsene Wenger, but I think he's to a point where he might need to retire, because, I mean, he's been the guy forever, but look at what he's done with it. And he's had some really spectacular teams. And they had a little, really hard time finishing on some of those.
Yeah, I don't know that he has a spectacular team this season, and they've done pretty well.
What ticks me off so much is that last transfer window, they were talking a ton about how they're going to get this guy from who used to play for Lyon when Lyon had the best team in France. And he was homegrown. He's a Lyonnais. Dang it. He's on Real Madrid now. I'm trying to remember his name. He's killing me. Give me a second.
I don't know.
What position did he play?
Oh, we got the phone tapping. So while Jared's looking that up on it,
Benzema.
Oh, I was gonna say it's not Benzema, is it?
Oh yeah, it's Benzema. Benzema, the one who was helping his friend with that whole
the blackmail thing.
I can't remember if it was chantage is what we call that.
Yeah, that's no good. But yeah, so anyway, I think it's really weird that they'd bring Tim Howard in as a DP. I mean, I don't know. I think a DP goalie is kind of strange.
I think it's only happened once that I've ever known about.
Well,
that was Seattle.
Howard can save was really super famous and all, but Tim Howard is getting pretty old.
I mean, I think that, like, say the difference between Clint Irwin, right, who they traded, and Tim Howard, like, there is probably a difference, but I don't know that there's probably a bigger difference if you went and spent that same money on, like, an attacking midfielder or a striker or something. I think that would have a lot bigger impact on your team than the small amount of difference between, say, Clint Irwin and Tim Howard.
Yeah, because how much difference can a keeper make by himself?
A lot.
Well, I mean, Manchester United only has a season because of De Gea, but other than that...
But the Rapids have... Don't they have tons of problems since... Didn't we used to feel like there was some kind of rivalry there and that kind of fizzled because they started stinking?
Yeah, we own them for the most part.
Yeah.
We let them borrow the Rocky Mountain Cup every once in a while.
Yeah, so, I mean, that'll be interesting to see. I mean, they have Jermaine Jones and Tim Howard this season, so I think... So, Tim... I don't think Tim's coming until the summer, and then Jermaine Jones is suspended, like, the first six games, so I don't think we got to see either of them the first time we play Colorado. But we'll have to see what they turn out like at the end of the season. It could be interesting.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Yeah. West should be a bloodbath again, that's for sure. Hopefully we're on the inside of the playoffs this time instead of the outside.
Yep.
Okay, well, unless you guys have something else.
Nope. I don't think so.
Jared, Brett, you guys good?
Yeah, good.
Okay, well, thanks everybody for listening. Hopefully people will listen. In this Touchline Podcast, you can get at us, I think all of us, on Twitter. I'm at Frisbee_Rich on Twitter.
I'm at Go the Distance 49 on Twitter.
And you can find me, let's see, at A24Brett, or sometimes I run the Touchline account, so at Touchline_TBS.
And you can go to Torn by Sports for other articles. I think Brett and Jared are being more diligent at writing things than I am, but you're definitely welcome to go there and read all of their great literature.
Right.
So thanks for listening. Wait, what?
New up this week. Yeah, I should have something new up this week.
Wow. You got a tease you want to throw out there about what it's about?
Oh, just kind of, you know, the beginning of the season, first ever game, you know, going to live, kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're going to your first ever game in person.
Yep.
Is it the Seattle game you're going to?
Yep.
Oh, man. Well, we need a whole, like, play-by-play, like, journal entries and stuff.
You know, I think that's probably what it's gonna be. I'm probably gonna do a post game.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, well, thanks for listening, guys, and hope that you let us know if you have any comments or questions, and we'll talk to you next time.
Peace.